You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
Those verses from the good God's Word translation gives us some more quantitative measurements that we can understand. From 1 Chronicles 29, 7 through 9, it says they gave 375,186 pounds of gold, 750,000 pounds of silver, 135 pounds of bronze, 7.5 million pounds of iron for the work of God's temple. And whoever happened to have precious stone, they gave them to Jehiel, who was a jeweler, Gershon's descendant, for the treasury of the Lord's temple. And the people were overjoyed that the leaders gave so generously and wholeheartedly to the Lord. And King David was also overjoyed, and he praised the Lord while the whole assembly watched. David was rejoicing how the people gave from their overflow. We know God brought them with promise to bring them to a place of overflow. Remember one of the scriptures we gave you last week from Psalm 126. The other translation says, when the Lord restored our fortunes. So now God had restored their fortunes. They had been slaves. They had been exiled. They had been dependent upon other nations, but God had raised them up and God had restored their fortunes. So now their lack days are over. Now their broke days are over. Now their ship has come in. Glory to God. See, some of y'all, you're not tithing, but you told me you're waiting for your ship to come in. Mm-hmm. You keep going down to every time you see on the news the lottery to hit $1 million, $8 million. You won't tithe, but you go on there buying $20 worth of lottery ticket, thinking about your ship coming in. You ain't even about to get a boat. You gonna be sitting by the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Look at your neighbor and say, you better get in God's system. So David didn't forget. David didn't forget where he personally came from. Nor did he forget where the nation had corporately come from before they were in this position of overflow. So now they could financially give the resources to construct Israel's first temple. So after they counted the money, he saw all the heaps of resources and money come to build the temple. 1 Chronicles 29, around verse 14, he rejoices. He looks back. My greatest worship, y'all, comes from looking back. I know y'all get tired of hearing my story, but I can't help but look back. David looked back and said, who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this, that you bless us to be able to give like this? For all things come from you, and all we have, you have given us. He reminded, remember where they came from. He said, because we were aliens, strangers. Watch this, we were immigrants. I saw something, Lord, I saw some bishop on Twitter. Don't y'all come for that bishop. I can't remember his name, but he will. He need to hear my teaching that I did at the what I did a teaching last Saturday before about the servant of the Lord must not strive. And he need to hear my teaching. If y'all find the bishop, send him my teaching. But because he like, you come for me, I'm coming twice for you. I'm coming to your front door and your back door. And somebody said something about you just need to go back to Africa where you came from. And this preacher said, you need to go back to the cold caves with your lice in your head. I said, oh, Jesus, Lord, have mercy. Point, know what he was making? This country was founded by immigrants. That's his face. We're all immigrants. Some by choice and some by force. And David, remember, they were immigrants. He said, we were aliens and we were pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth as a shadow, and we were without hope. We didn't know how we were going to make it. But he goes and say, Lord, all this abundance that we're able to give out of our overflow to prepare to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own. See, you need to get the right perspective about why you have everything you have. It's pride to go around talking about your boots and your bootstraps. I pull myself up by my own bootstraps. Listen, without God, you wouldn't have no strength, no hands, and no pull. If your boots are worth anything, they're at least leather. Last I knew, leather came from a cow. And last I knew, the scripture says, the cattle upon a thousand hills are the Lord. So anything you got that's worth anything, it came from the Lord. Don't ever forget and start talking about your own bootstraps and I work hard and nobody done nothing for me. All my help comes from the Lord. Come on now. Well, I did this and I worked hard. You need to understand. Well, I thought I came up with this idea. Watch it. I don't mean it to be hard, but I'm saying you could be mentally deficient. You could be mentally, we don't use the word anymore. You could be mentally retarded. But if it wasn't for the goodness of the Lord, come on, if it wasn't for the hand of God on your life, the thoughts you think are because he gave you a brain. Come on now. If you can count, it's because he gave you a brain, your faculties, your sense, everything you have, your strength, your words, your thought, the blood that's running warm in your vein, the breath in your lung, everything you got, it comes from God. It's in him we live, we move, and we have our being. And David, now that he's seeing how they're giving out an overflow, he doesn't forget that. And from the offering giving in 1 Chronicles 29, we learn several things. The first thing that we learn is that God giving is merely returning. Giving is merely returning. We can talk about all we give, but we're really returning. Return means to bring back to God what he's given you. Remember what he said in verse 16, all this abundance we have prepared for your house and for your holy name is all your own. When we give, we're just returning. Say that when we say giving is returning. So Malachi 3, 7 through 8, when God talks about encouraging people to tithe and bring offerings, he says to them, I'm reading from New Living Translation. He says, ever since the days of your ancestors, you've scorned my decrees. You failed to obey them. He says, so this is what I'm telling you to do. Return to me and I'll return to you. I don't know why God's not blessing me. He said, return to me and I'll return to you, says the Lord of heaven's army. But you ask, how can we return? What do you mean return? Well, he said, well, let me break it down for you. How can we return when we've never gone away? Verse 8, he said, let me ask you a question. Should people cheat God? But you've cheated me. But you said, what do you mean, God? He said, when did we ever cheat you? You've cheated me of the tithes and offering due to me. Is that a better word than rob? You feel better cheating than robbing? Just another translation of Malachi 3 and verse 8, about robbing God. And so God gives us certain promises when we return to him, bring back to him what he's given us, Job 22, 23 through 28. Look what it says here. It says, if you return to the Almighty, you're going to be built up. You will remove iniquity far from your tents. Then you're going to lay up gold in the dust as dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brooks. Yes, the Almighty will be your gold and your precious silver. And then you'll have your delight in the Almighty. And you lift up your face before God. You'll make your prayers about to be answered. You'll make your prayer to him and he will hear you and you will pay your vows. Look at verse 28. And then you'll decree a thing or declare a thing and it will be established for you. And God's light is going to shine on your ways. That's the word of God when we return to him. Recognizing everything that I have, he's given it to me. That verse 28 from New Living Translation, I love this, y'all. It says, you will succeed in whatever you choose to do. And light will shine on the road ahead of you. The light of God refers to the favor of God. How many of us need the favor of God? Come on, I need the favor of God. I came to Columbia, South Carolina. I was minding some pastors that this week. I came to Columbia, South Carolina, not knowing anyone, or at least not knowing that I know anyone. I got here and found Paulette was here. I didn't come here. Well, I got somebody going to be my first member. I didn't know she was here. Two other people who I started an organization in Maine called the Maine Association of Black Professionals. It was just a networking organization for all of these African-American professionals who they would come down to Benedict and to South Carolina State and to Fisk and to Hampton, all these HBCUs, and get these professors and bring them to Maine, if y'all can imagine. And those folks up there like a fish out of water, and I felt sorry for them. So I started this organization called Maine Association of Black Professionals. And I had this organization, I had several organizations. I started something called the Maine Mass Choir. I was a director and a musician for the choir. Okay, the white folks, they don't know gospel music anyway, so whatever I did, it was good. They didn't compare me to James Cleveland, nobody. They didn't know nobody. So I was the best in the whole state. I had to be, and we used to go around doing concerts, and one day we went and did a concert. It was all predominantly white, all white congregation, not predominantly, all white congregation. And so we did a concert at this church called, this Congregationalist Church. And I went in there, and I saw this couple. They were new members. It happened to be an African-American couple. I looked up their names. I called them. And I said, I started this organization called Maine Association of Black Professionals. They said, okay, we'll come and join it. And that was Bob and Roz. We got to know them. I come here to South Carolina, and I said to my former pastor, he said, you remember those two of those people who was in your organization? They're down there somewhere. Well, Unum bought Colonial, and he was working for Unum. They transferred him here. I called him up. He lives literally a half a mile around the corner. And I called him up. I said, well, we down there, we're going to start a church. And he immediately says, we'll be your first members. Now, I'm like, no, you know what I'm saying. We're going to be a little different from that congregational church you was at in Maine. You need to slow your roll. But they did. And then became both. But God had things positioned. And I can't help but look back and recognize that I needed favor with people. God gave me favor with those people. God gave me favor with y'all. Y'all didn't, you know, I didn't grow up with none of y'all. I didn't go to C.A. Johnson with none of y'all. I didn't go to Keenan with none of y'all. I didn't go nowhere with none of y'all. And some of your families, y'all had to deal with that. Where you come from? I hear from up north, N-O-R-F. He from up north somewhere. God gave me this northerner gave me favor with all these southerners. That's the favor of God. If God's going to bless you, he got to give you favor with people. So stop going around talking about, I don't need anybody. That's not true. You need favor of God to give you favor with man. Now, when I was young, I said dumb stuff like, I don't care if nobody liked me. Well, if nobody liked me, I couldn't build this church. I don't care if nobody, I was real dumb. I would say stuff like, all y'all can leave. If I say that now, shoot me. Because I done lost my mind. No, God got to give you favor with people. And so God said, when you return to me, I'll give you favor with people. Now, I talked to you about Hezekiah. Y'all still with me? Okay. Hezekiah, remember how God blessed Hezekiah? The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 32:24-25, in those days Hezekiah was sick. He was near death. But he prayed to the Lord, turned his face to the Lord, and God added 15 years to his life. And he spoke to him and he gave him a sign. And God, he was sick unto death. He had a death sentence. He had a terminal illness. He was about to die. And God added 15 years onto his life. But look at verse 25. It said, but Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him. Let's just stop a moment. Do you return and repay to God according to how he's blessed you? I think I said this last week. Don't get so far from your miracle that you forget it was a miracle. See, when people are close to the miracle, they make all kinds of commitments. Oh, I realized God kept me. I could have died in there. The guns, the bullets went by me but didn't hit me. And I was right there in the club. I was right there in truth. Some of y'all know what truth is. Maybe I shouldn't be advertising for truth. I thought truth was a ministry. Seriously, over by our old building, we was over there a couple weeks ago, and we got a right direction officers there. We got the ark right across the street. And I look, I said to Pastor Trey, I said, oh, look, there's a new ministry over there, truth. He said, no, no. He said, Bishop, that's a club. I'm like, how you know, Pastor? I thought, I said, isn't this nice? Right direction, ark and truth. He said, no, the truth is a club. Some of y'all, you're in the club and stuff break out and you realize, man, God kept me. The car flipped over and we showed pictures at church of how God brought you out. And when these things happen, people say, I'm going to serve God. Here we go. God, there's something God wants me to do. God kept me here for a reason. How many of us heard all those things? And then we get further and further away. It's 5 years, it's 10 years, and you forgot all about that. You haven't tithed since. Some of y'all watch me, you know, it's just too much to come to church. But you forgot that one time when you was in the hospital, you wished you could be at church. You forgot when you were in prison, you wished you could be at church. When I would do my annual visit to prison ministry, I committed at least annually. Prison scared me, y'all. I'm just going to be honest. It just makes me very uncomfortable. But we got people who used to go in there every week, and they would say, Bishop, we need you to come. I said, do I have to? They said, Bishop, yeah, you need to come. And so I committed to come at least maybe once or twice a year. And you didn't say, everybody around me in the project went to prison. I did everything I could to stay out of prison. So I ain't really trying to go, even voluntarily. And I would go into the prison, and first, you know, you got to go through, you got to sign in, you got to check in, and then here, I mean, you know, it ain't just like a click, click, it's go boom, boom. It's like that bass that come on when SUV come on. Yeah. Boom, boom. Then, man, I'm feeling all, and it's just, maybe just I'm just from the hood. Then we go in these rooms, and I'm looking around like, how am I going to get out? And I'm looking, if anything go down up in here, I'm like, no, I'm sure that everybody else will look for it too. There is no out. But inevitably I would minister and people would come up to me. People come up to me and say, Pastor Bailey, Bishop Bailey, I listen to you on the radio all the time. You've been such a blessing in my life. I don't know if you watch television, I think you say, now I've seen you on television or whatever. And they would say, soon when I get out of here, I'm coming the right direction. When I get it, I'm coming. Many of them get out, then the last thing they do is come to church. Because sometimes we're so desperate, but then we forget what God's done for us, and we don't return to him according to how he's returned to us. That's what Hezekiah did. Are y'all with me here? Isaiah 43:1, it says, I'm the God who created you. I formed you. Fear not, I redeemed you. I've called you by my name. You are mine. God said, don't you forget what I've done for you. A verse from New Living Translation says, but now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord. Israel, I formed you. Do not be afraid. I've ransomed you. I called you by my name. You can't. So the second thing we learn from this is that you should never forget where God brought you from. David rejoiced over this offering. He said, God, I recognize we didn't always have it like this. We were strangers, slaves, aliens. That's why God reminds the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 8, he said, I'm going to bring you to a good land, a land that flows with milk and honey. But then he tells them in Deuteronomy 8, starting verse 10, he said, when you've eaten and when you're full, he said, when I bring you to that good land that he has given you, he said, but this is the time to be careful. Look, somebody say, be careful. This is the time to be careful. Beware. that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commandments, his regulations, his decrees that I'm giving you today. He goes on to tell them, for when you have become full, when you're prosperous, when you've built fine houses to live in, and when your flocks and your herds become large and you got all kinds of silver and gold have been multiplied along with everything you have, God said, be careful. Be careful that you do not become proud and that in time you forget the Lord your God who rescued you out of Egypt, from the land of Egypt. He said, and do not forget that he led you through this great and terrifying wilderness where there was poisonous snakes and scorpions and where it was so hot and it was dry. Don't forget that he gave you water from the rock. Don't forget that he gave you manna in the wilderness and he gave you food you didn't know where it came from. You got to remember that he did this so we can humble you and test you for your own good. He said, don't forget. He did this, all this, so you would never say to yourself, I achieved this with my wealth, with my strength, with my power, with my energy. He said, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. King James said power to get wealth in order to fulfill the covenant that he commanded and confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. He said, don't forget everything you got come from me. I know you're living good now. I know you're all bougie now. I know you talk better, you drive better, okay? And some of y'all talking about, what's Spam? Some of us grew up frying Spam. Fried bologna. Mackerel, sardines, pork and beans. Come on now. And we didn't complain. And now some of us, we turn our face up. I turn my face up too. But I still remember. Come on, I remember when it was good eating. Look, somebody say, don't you forget, don't you forget. Yeah. Don't forget so much that you start being ashamed of your parents. Shame of your grandparents. You stand on the prayers of your parents and your grandparents. You went to school, if not on the money, on the prayers of your parents and grandparents. He said, don't forget where you came from. Thirdly, we learn from the offering, taking the First Chronicles 29, that those who are blessed with more should give more. Those who are blessed with more should give more. Let me say it again. Those blessed with more should give more. Notice he said in 1 Chronicles 29, 6, first he said the leaders of the father's house, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands, hundreds, officers over the king's work, people who had good jobs in high positions, they offered generously. And leaders are those who God has raised up and promoted to be in positions of authority and even wealth to save and to serve others. Here at Right Direction, we recognize two types of leaders. We recognize positional leaders, and those are those who are leaders based upon their hierarchy position and titles, designated people over particular ministries. But then we also recognize here at this church what I call financial leaders. Some of them are busy bringing in the money into the kingdom, that they may not always be available to serve and to do as what everyone else can do. And those are those who God has blessed financially to be pillars of provision in the kingdom of God, and more specifically in the house of Right Direction. Pillars. Pillars means that we depend upon them. Pillars mean that they're the one who hold everything up. And we recognize those types of people. And so one of the reasons why I even teach a message like this, because the scripture tells me to do it. Look at 1 Timothy 6 chapter verse 17 through 19. As I start wrapping this up for today, Paul tells Timothy, he said, God is gonna raise up people in your church. God's gonna bring people who are not struggling. God's gonna bring people who got it going on. God's gonna bring people who got options. Option where you live, option where you drive, option what you eat, option what restaurant you go to, option whether you're gonna drive or fly, whether you're gonna go on a cruise or whether you're gonna drive. People got options. And y'all, can I tell you, that's what money does. Money just gives you options. Okay? When I got ready, when I went to college, I wanted to go to Oral Roberts University. Now, I wasn't around a faith environment where people, like, you know, I have touched and agreed with young people today here at this church who want to go to a particular college, and they don't see it as how they can afford it. Parents don't see it. And I agree, well, we're going to believe God gives you supernatural favor. And I pray with them that God gives them supernatural favor. I tell them, do your part, keep your grades up. We're going to believe for scholarships. And people gotten into schools that the family thought they couldn't get into. No, I didn't have anybody. I wanted to go to Oral Roberts University. I remember seeing Carlton Pearson as one of the ORU singers. And there was another guy from my city, I think his name was David Lawrence, who was from the Church of God in Christ from Jersey City. He was one of the ORU. And I wanted to go to Oral Roberts University. And when I started talking about going to Oral Roberts University, my mother didn't know much about college, but somebody told her, that's out of state. That costs a whole lot of money. So you can't go to school out of state. Now, little did I know, I went to a private school in state. It didn't make no difference. Still wasn't getting no state money. Okay, but nobody knew, okay? And so I didn't know to believe God. But many of us, God has blessed us to be in environments that we have people who have resources who can help us. So 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, he said, command those who are rich in this present age. Paul tells Timothy, he said, tell those who are rich, who got it going on. People live with options. First of all, don't you be haughty. That means high-minded. Tell them, don't you trust in uncertain riches because money will deceive you. You can think you got it going on and one thing can happen, everything's wiped out. You can get a critical illness and have to use all your money traveling around the country to go to specialists to see if you can get a cure. He said, but teach them to trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Then in verse 18, he said, tell them to do good with their money. That not just be rich financially, but rich in good works. Tell them to be ready to give. Tell them to be willing to share. That means help other people. And as a result of that, they will store up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come. God said if they bless other people now, God will make sure he blesses them later. And that they may lay hold of eternal life. Those verses from the New Living Translation says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud nor trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Tell them that their trust should be in God who richly gives us all that we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. That they be rich in good works and generous to those in need and always ready to share with others. Now, what does rich mean? Rich means having abundant possessions, especially material wealth. It means well supplied, endowed. The Bible said God is rich in mercy, meaning he doesn't run out. And so those of us whom the Lord has blessed with more are expected to give more. Let me show you this again from the scripture. Luke 12, 48. He says in the middle of that verse, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. If God gives us much, he requires more of us. Do y'all see that from scripture? So if you live above average, we have an obligation from the word of God to give above average. Amen. Drive the best, live the best, have all the designer, whatever. But I just believe as a Christian, that ought to be reflected in our giving too. I said, I believe that ought to be reflected in our giving too. 1 Corinthians 16 and 2. It says, let every one of you, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, here's the operative word, as God has prospered him. God has prospered some of us, at least in the time being, more than he's prospered others of us. Those of us who have prospered more, we ought to give more, according to the scripture. So our living should be reflected in our giving. God expects us to return to him according to how he's blessed us. We ought to have, let me say these two things will be done. We ought to have a two-coat ministry. Everybody say, Lord, give me a two-coat ministry. What's two-coat ministry? It's right there in Luke 3, 11. He answered and said, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. Note, he didn't say, if you got one coat, give your coat away. Then you just going to be cold. You just changing your cold for their warmth. But he said, if you got more than one, If God bless you abundantly, you can give to somebody else. I've lost track of how many cars I've given away. I gave away a car to somebody, in our, a young lady in our church, a single parent, about 2 months ago. I've given away so many cars, I don't even think about it. But I couldn't do that if I have abundance. Abundance now gives you the opportunity to bless other people. That's a two-coat ministry. And then the final thing, those of us who have more, we are the people who should help eliminate lack. We're the ones who should help eliminate lack. I read it from the scripture when we gave the offering today, Acts 4, verse 34. As many as were possessors of lands and houses, what did they do? They sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. In other words, they had some profits and laid them at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he hath need. And the reason why I teach this is so you can understand from the word of God why we do what we do.
Stay connected with us in person or online. Stream our services live on YouTube or rightdirection.info on Sundays at 9 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. On Fridays, join Dr. Marsha Bailey for Manifest at 12 noon online only. If you're in the local area, join us in Columbia, South Carolina at 1705 Shivers Road. If you're in the Florence or Orangeburg area, join us for services there. For campus service times and locations, visit rightdirection.info.